So we have come out of this darkness into this marvelous, and it's His marvelous light. And it really truly is, from what we've known before. What we knew before wasn't bad. That was great. That was very, very great. But what we know now is so much greater. It's built on that. It gives us a completeness that we've never had before. And that, of course, is that milk. Let's get the other aspect of this. Turn over to Matthew 23. And I always like to give a couple of scriptures here and there, and people can do studies later on these different subjects. It's always interesting to do Bible study. I never did a lot of Bible study before because I never found it that interesting, quite frankly. But now, with knowing the true plan of God, it is just, boy, whenever I can, I just sit down, open up the Bible, and start reading, and wow! Wow, does it have a lot to say? Because we know what it's talking about now. We didn't know before. We had all kinds of theories about it. And we find out the theories were junk food. That's all it was. Starting here in Matthew 23, verse 23, Christ is talking to these scribes and these Pharisees. Okay? And he says, you know, you're a bunch of hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and all the tithe of all these other things. But he says, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You know, that all comes through the Spirit of God. Those are the fruits of the Spirit, mercy and faith. These ought you have done. So it's important. And not to leave the other undone. And Christ is saying, you know, don't leave the law of God undone. You've got to do that. That's the very staple of your life. That's what you are. That's what you stand on. But he tells these people, now remember, these are the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these people. He says, you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. But he calls them blind guides. Very important to understand. They are the blind guides. Let's turn to Hebrews 13. What about us? What does he talk about us? Hebrews 13. Now he's talking about himself. He's talking about the other apostles and the other ministers that are in the church. He says, remember them which have rule over you. Now when you've heard this in the past, you heard, remember them that have rule over you. Because they did. And they took fear religion and they pushed it down your throat. And they hung salvation over you, didn't they? Well, when you look up the words here that have rule over you, it says, who are the guides? They are guides. Yes, they're ministers. Yes, they've been appointed to do that. But they are there to help guide you. Guide you with this plan of salvation. To understand it, to teach it, so you can understand it and that you too can have that joy. And that all comes through all of us, through the Holy Spirit. It says that have guides, that are guides over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation and conduct. You know, they should be led by God's Holy Spirit. You should see that. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 17, here again it says, obey them that have the rule over you. Again, it's a guide. Work with them. Be with them. You're all in this thing together. Yes, they have a position, and God's inspiring them to do that job, but we're brothers. They're just trying to help guide to the understanding of this salvation is so great. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Now, they don't have to give account, but they do watch, and they do care about the brethren. And when you hurt, they hurt. And when we all hurt, we all hurt together. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For there is unprofitable, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, don't cause all kinds of grief either. If you have problems, they try to help. And they can try to direct you into God's encouragement. So, when one hurts, we all hurt. We're all in this together. But God does set those different guides, as we just went through a two-part sermon on God's government. He does establish that, and it's a very important part of His church. But it's to be done in love and mercy and joy, not with trying to rule over somebody. That's ridiculous. Let's turn back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 45. He talks about the servants. He talks about the church here. He says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler or a guide over his household," which is the church, "to give them meat in due season?" See? Better be giving the meat in due season, or you're not a guide. It said, "Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." Now, isn't that for all of us? We're going to be joint heirs to everything in the universe. He is going to make all of us rulers over all of his goods. Yeah, he has guides. He has his ministry. But we're all together as one body. They're put there for order, so there's not confusion. And God does work through them, and God does inspire through them. He always works through his government as well. But no one has an upper hand, and it is meet in due season. Herbert Armstrong fed milk and weaned us, and he did his job. We now are giving you the meat of Christ and the kingdom. That's what our job is. And we're going to build on that job, on that work that Mr. Armstrong did. He laid that first part. He laid that foundation for us. Of course, it's all built on the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ. That's the true foundation. But as far as that foundation within the beginning of that Philadelphian era, he was called to do that. And he's doing that. Now we read here what the others want, the others do. Verse 48. "But and if the evil servant..." Now he's sitting here too within the church, the man of sin, "shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming," because he never thinks Christ is going to come back. He's going to win. He always thinks he's going to win. Satan is deceived. "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken." And that means spiritually as well, and the junk food that he's putting out. "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And we know that to be Satan. And we know that is going to be his time. This man of sin is sitting in the church And he has fed us junk food. We've got milk, but we've also got a lot of junk food. He gave us the bad and the fake meat, the counterfeit. Thankfully, we have moved it through our bodies and finally got rid of a lot of this stuff that we had in there. Thank God for that. I won't take the time to, I'll just quote this, but you can read about his work and about the deceitful work and the deceitful meat. It talks about in Proverbs 23, verses 1 through 8. This is Satan's counterfeit plan in his meal. It's deceitful meat. And over in, he also refers to meat as doctrines as well. That's another study. But in Matthew 16, 11 through 12, he talks about, we know this, about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it's their doctrine. It's the wrong meat. It's the wrong food. It's the junk food. Now, you know it says Pharisees and Sadducees here. You know, he says, don't follow them. You know, why does William Dankenbrink want to follow all the Jews? You know, that's what he's following. I think we know where he's going on that. Let's turn here to John 4. And then we're going to look a little bit at some of our doctrines that we knew. And just spell them out very quickly. Christ is talking here, and he's speaking to some of his disciples as well. And verse 31 of John 4. So in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed with him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything of. There was a lot more that was going to be happening in Christ's life that the apostles and disciples at this point did not know. There was a lot more to come. And he says in 34, he says, Christ says, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, which of course he did. And there was a lot more involved in that. And he goes through about talking about the fields are ready for harvest, and that he says, you are going to go out there. You know, you didn't sow this. You didn't sow. But in verse 38, he says, I send you to reap. He says, you didn't bestow the labor, but other men labored. But he says, you are going to be entering into their labors to let them know that this is a complete team effort. And it really did set up all the way back from Adam and Abraham and all the prophets of God, all the way through. But now was the time when the people were going to be reaped a little bit for those first fruits. The first, he was the first of the first fruits, and the next were going to come. Now let's look at some of this milk and meat and the junk food. You know, let's look at some examples. You know, let's really think about this. Because I'm not tearing it down. There's good stuff. Now, the church taught us with Mr. Armstrong about the holy days. And he taught us about that we should keep them. And that we should keep these different names called Pentecost and trumpets and atonement. And we have the names, and we have the date in which to keep them. But how much did we really know about it? You look at unleavened bread. Now, unleavened bread was right, and we kept it. And it was a holy day. And that was the milk, and that was good. And it was good milk. And we all started to do that. But we were told that it pictured that us, that we put sin out of our lives. And that was a satanic counterfeit. That was junk food. the meat was, that we have learned now, that it was Christ that put it out. He put the sin out of our life. He took that sin out of our life. We didn't. We could never. We could never do that. We started to understand about Christ, of course, that Passover lamb, and that Passover lamb represented Christ. But there was a lot of junk food spread in there. And now we've learned that yes, he was the Passover lamb. And he didn't die because of your sin. He died because of the sin of this world and because of the sin of this satanic kingdom that is here. And that Satan was the one who murdered Jesus Christ. And after he was murdered, God accepted that blood from that innocent lamb to cover us, the first fruits. Just like back in Moses' time, that innocent lamb, he wasn't killed because of any sins of the Israelites, but because that death angel was going to be coming. And he covered us. What a marvelous truth. That's meat. That's meat to understand that. We look at Pentecost. Again, the right day, the right time, and that was good. But we were always taught about Pentecost that it was the day that the Holy Spirit came. That was right. But we always had to use, that we must use that Holy Spirit. We have to use His power, use His Spirit, so we can present ourselves glorious in front of God. And that was junk food, because we don't use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us, and it directs us the way He wants. We found out that Pentecost began the sealing, and the sealing of the promise. How important that day really is. And once you're sealed forever. If we didn't go any further, what a marvelous truth. Look at trumpets. We're always taught, well, this was Christ's return and all this. It was all wrong timing. Now, it does involve Christ's return, but it involves a lot more, as we find out. It involves all the seven trumps that are going out. And what they really are, which we never understood before. We had them all battling at Armageddon, and Armageddon's not even going to happen during that period of time. We found out the real timing. And that was meat. Now we have the milk, we know the days, and we have the meat. And we understand the picture of the whole day. And hopefully that those pictures will continue to grow. I'm not saying that they're done, because I find that we're always learning every year a little bit more. We have atonement. This is this great day, and we have this fast. And first the church taught us that one of the goats was Satan, then one of the goats was Christ. And then, lately and worldwide, they're teaching that both of the goats are Christ. I still can't figure out how they come up with that nonsense, but that's what they teach. Well, we've learned a lot more in the past couple of years about atonement, and we see how this pictures the first fruits and the acceptance to the Father of these first fruits. Which was a lot more of meat and understanding more of the picture. And I think this atonement, you're going to learn a lot more about atonement because God has revealed a lot more about it. You're going to learn about what the fast really is, what it's really about. You're going to learn something more about these goats. You're going to get the right explanation about what these goats are and who and how it's all handled. And it's something that we've never seen or understood before. You're going to learn, even though you're not eating meat that day, you're going to get a lot of spiritual milk or meat that day. Built on the meat, on the milk that Mr. Armstrong gave us. And the tabernacles, Feast of Tabernacles. Well, we kept the days, we kept the time. But we were told the tabernacles pictured this millennium. And it did, that thousand-year period. But we all thought that Jesus Christ was going to return to this earth and set up this kingdom. And we were going to be spirit beings ruling in this kingdom on this earth. And boy, we were going to whip people in shape then. That was junk food. It was junk food. Thank God. Thank God that we learned what's really going to happen during the Feast of Tabernacles, during that thousand-year period. A time of peace, of human peace. It's going to be very nice. Human utopia. And thankfully, we are going to be as first fruits in heaven with the Father and the Son, our brother, learning to be God's, learning and understanding the true way of God. And then we come to the great last day. And the church has admitted this themselves. That we had the name, we had the day to keep it, but we really didn't understand it. And we thought at one time that it was a 100-year period and people were going to come up and everyone who never had a chance was going to have a chance to make this acceptance to Christ. And if they didn't, we'll throw them in hell too. That's what we believe. That's what was taught. Some of us may have been questioning some of this stuff, but we didn't have the answers. And that's the key. We did not have the answers. But now we know what the great last day truly is, and what a great day it is. That's why he named it that. We know it's going to be the kingdom of God, and we know that it's going to be the new heavens and the new earth, and that mankind, that all mankind is going to be resurrected and live forever with the Father. That's meat. That's meat, brethren. It's not milk. It's really understanding the plan of God. If you understand the plan of God, then you understand God's mind. Don't you want to understand His mind? It's impossible to understand His mind unless we understand His plan. That's His thinking. That's the way He thinks. These are the marvelous things that He's set forth for all of us. We were taught that there were resurrections in worldwide. And there was. We were taught there was three resurrections. There wasn't. We thought that third one, people were going to be resurrected and would toss them into hell. These are all the ones who didn't make it, didn't make the wise choice like we did, you see. We find out there's only two resurrections. I think maybe we were one of the only groups around ever believing there was three. But we had to fit that into our theory, the satanic theory. That's what we had to fit into. So that's why we believed it. I don't know, when you just read the Bible, you know, without somebody else teaching you a theory, you come up with two resurrections. But then again, you don't know what to do with those two resurrections either. And that's what God has revealed, His first fruits and the great harvest. What a marvelous concept. What a marvelous thing to understand. We did not know that before. We can come up with a subject about Satan. You know, we knew that there was a Satan, but we didn't know Satan. We didn't know how he worked. We thought that he only influenced. See? We thought he just influenced us. There was an angel on one shoulder and Satan on the other one, little devil, like the cartoons. And he'd kind of pull, and the good angel would pull, and the bad angel would pull, and you had to be strong in the middle to choose. Well, we found out how stupid that was. That was junk food. That was Satan's counterfeit that was taught within the Church of God. And we all lived under that. We were all taught that. We were taught Satan lives forever. Because the spirit can't die. It never said that in the Bible, as we find. But it certainly, we find, says that he can die and he will die. In fact, he'll die twice. and go into that second death. The meat, you see, that Satan dies forever at the end. That's the meat. That's the understanding. And that man lives forever. That was never taught within the church, at least in our lifetimes. We have this whole panorama of Israel and prophecy. Now, it was good that everyone pointed out about Israel and how much God's going to work in the future with it and how he's worked in the past. That was good. That was milk. But to say that the United States and Britain is part of Israel, that was all junk food. And that was the basis of putting all of this prophecy toward the end together as a counterfeit of Satan. That was just garbage. It was junk food. Now we see that when he talks about Israel, it's to restore it to the former state of prosperity. It's with all love. It's with joy. And as we learn through the holy days, how he is going to work with Israel. And it is going to be his nation to set the tone. And it's going to be marvelous. All marvelous things. Not what we were taught. We were taught about the beast. The beast and the seven heads. Well, they were going to be the Pope or maybe one of those German heads over there that was going to... We even had guys' names. I forget his name right now. But he died. Wasn't right. Now, there's going to be 10 nations rising up here at the end before all of this happens, before the millennium. And got a lot of people scared and everything else. Worried. Let's watch world news. You can forget world news. It's not going to happen. You know, continue to watch world news. But don't look for the 10 nations. It's not going to happen. That was junk food. That was junk food. That there was a beast and that there is seven heads on this beast. Hey, that was milk. But the explanation was junk food. Now we have the meat. Now we know it's going to be the 10 nations. And this last head of the beast is going to rise up well after the 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years is finished, it's going to happen. It's very important. It's important for timing. Because otherwise you don't know where you are. And you don't know what's going to happen. Meat in due season. And the right meat. That's what he's talking about. So most of the prophecy that we were ever taught, most of that prophecy was wrong. It was junk food. But now we're starting to see the true and real prophecy in the Bible. And it's in the right order. And it's almost always against Satan the devil. That's meat. That's good. That's what our mind is going to be like the rest of eternity. He's teaching us. He's training us out of his words. We look back at the Garden of Eden. Mr. Armstrong kept going back there. Oh, he kept going back there. He says, I've got to keep going back there. One evangelist said at the time, oh, there he goes again, back to the Garden of Eden. Because they were sick of hearing it. Not Mr. Armstrong. He knew there was more there, and he was right. There was a lot more there. But God was not revealing it to him at the time. He taught us about those two trees and that we had free moral agency. See, a lot of what he taught us back there was right about the Garden of Eden and about the creation. But when we got into the free moral agency and what these two trees represented, we got junk food. We got the conspiracy again from Satan. You know, thank God that we now have the meat on that situation and that subject. And that God does it all. And we don't have free choice. And we don't want free choice. And we don't want free moral agency. Not when we're directed by Satan, we don't. We know what the two trees really are. Thank God we don't have free choice. That all mankind is going to be there. God is working it out as his choice It's His will. And even with everything around Christ that we learn, going through so many sermons and so many holy days and explaining so much about Christ's life and about this plan of salvation, you know, we really were taught quite wrong about it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. But how nice it is now to know that it is His blood that saves, that He did it, that our little works, our little thoughts, our little things don't get in the way. Thank God for that. This is what Paul wanted to teach. That's what he wanted to teach, the glory of Jesus Christ. But there was too much junk food around. We were taught that Christ was 100% spirit and 100% flesh. It was wrong. All we did was preach the spirit of Antichrist. That's what we did. Because we found out with the meat that He was 100% flesh, just like you and me. And it was the power of God's Spirit that brought Him along. And that He was the one who baptized Him, received, and He gave Him that Holy Spirit and made Him His Son. The first of the first fruits. Thank God for that. We believed in salvation, and that was a good thing. But we also believed in the works. Oh, yeah, everyone said, yeah, it's by grace. The gift is by grace, but we've got to earn that. It was always by earning. I don't care who says it, that's what they preached. I sat there for 40 years and listened to it. Thank God that we have the meat and understand that we are totally saved by His grace and by that sacrifice. That Satan murdered Him, and Christ didn't die because of us. He died because of that sin and that murder. And then God covered us through that grace. You know, I really don't need to keep on going. It's enough examples to understand what we did believe and what we believe now. We were taught the truth by Mr. Armstrong, but that was milk. And we needed that milk first. And Herbert Armstrong did finish his job that he was given to do. And we can thank God for His servant and His power that accomplished that. Or we wouldn't be here today. The man of sin, Satan, he tried to feed us all of this junk food. And all of us ate it. Didn't have any choice in that. But now it is getting cleared out of our bodies, isn't it? We're throwing that stuff out, the stuff that was wrong. Now God has revealed His true plan of salvation through His servant. Now, for the first time, we are eating God's good meat. We truly are eating the good meat that God has revealed. You know, this is no game. We are not at the beginning, but we're near the end of these churches in this time. How long? Who knows? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. We can thank God that we had the milk and a strong foundation, that the child is now growing up to be a man. That's what's happening. We're growing up to be an adult. Thank God that He is giving us meat in due season. It's very, very important. Final scripture. Let's show, well, we're almost here. In John 6. Let's turn back to John 6. John 6, verse 27. You know, Christ's mind was always right. Our mind is the one that gets sidetracked. He says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for the meat which endures unto everlasting life, That's what we have, brethren. That's what we're now getting. The meat to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. And he is sealed, as we know, all of us. Verse 32, he says, Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life. He gives life unto the world. Not just you as first fruits, to the whole world. It's important that we understand that. That is to all of mankind. Verse 39, And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Brethren, we know that God's given him everything, and he's given him the whole world. He's put under judgment everything. And he's talking here about all human beings. Now, first, the first fruits, and later, when they come up in the great last day and stand before Christ in white robes, and they know they've been resurrected and without Satan, believe me, they will all accept immediately that this is Christ and that the Father is there and that they are in the kingdom of God. Who wouldn't? You know, who wouldn't? It's not a matter of choice, it's just the thing to do. And we read in this chapter in 44 about the Father drawing you. And it says that he will raise him up in the last day again. And he says that unless the Father draws him. And you look up the word draw and you see that it says drag. And if you're a first fruit, God has been dragging, hasn't he? You know, he really has. Verse 51, he talks about, we don't have to read it, but he says, I am that living bread which comes down from heaven. We read all this at Passover, we know. That's the bread, that's the meat, that's the food, that's what we want. In verse 63, it says, It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The Spirit does it all, not the flesh. He says, The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And brethren, that is true. The words that he spoke and the words that we're speaking now are truly the words of spirit and life. They come from the Father. This is what he has revealed, the true plan of salvation. You know, in verses 68 and 69 there, you know, he was asking Peter, he said, well, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? He says, these are the words of eternal life. You can't go anywhere else. You begin to understand that they truly are the words of eternal life. We are giving this true meat by the words of that Spirit and life. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, it has been revealed, and nothing has been held back. There's no secrets, just as Christ. Everything that the Father told him, he spoke. And everything that he has revealed to us, we have spoken. You know, are we the church and his servant? Are we giving the meat in due season? Will he find us doing when he comes? Well, by the power of his Spirit, the answer is yes and yes, because that's the only way it can be done. we are sitting at a table, or we were sitting at a table, with just a big pitcher of milk and a couple of glasses. And we enjoyed that, and it was good. And that's what Mr. Armstrong had for us. And that was his job. We can be very thankful that we got that foundation. But now we sit at a table full of meat, a spiritual feast. It really is time to dig in and enjoy the meal and grow strong so that we can endure what's coming. Be very thankful. Be very, very thankful that you are here and that you are being fed meat in due season.